listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Joy Taylor Show. I'm Joy Taylor alongside Ryan and Iowa Sam. On a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Madness. Madness in college football this Saturday. 58 points already scored in the Oklahoma-Texas game. If you're checking that out, it's in halftime right now. Texas up 38-20. That would be a massive win for Texas. So we'll keep you updated on that game and the rest of the games going on throughout the day. Ohio State up 35-10 on Maryland. And Florida up 21-0 on Vanderbilt right now. We have a huge show for you today. Lots to talk about. There's so much going on. Not just around college football, but around the NFL. And tonight's Fury. I guess it's Fury Wilder. Fury's the A-side since he won. So Fury Wilder 3, the trilogy, the final fight. I'm going to Las Vegas right after the show. Fight nights are my absolute favorite. People often ask what's like the best sporting event to go to. And, you know, I work in sports, so I have the privilege of being able to go to some pretty amazing sporting events, which I'm very grateful for. And fight nights are by far my favorite. A great college football game is tough to match. NBA finals up there. I've never been to a Super Bowl, so I'm aiming to go to the Super Bowl this year because it's in Los Angeles. I'm never in the city where the Super Bowl is. So I always cover it and then leave. So I've never actually been to a game, but a fight night is really special because you're, even if it is a part of a series of fights, like this one being the third fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, each fight is so different. You're really a part of history, and like boxing, the fight game is so romantic. Like when people talk about being at these specific fights and the energy in the building. So if you ever get an opportunity to go to a fight, definitely go. I love them. And also, I get to dress up, and I'm a girly girl, and that's fun for me. So I get to go watch a brutal, viciously violent sporting event in my high heels, which I appreciate. I'm wearing my sneakers now. I got my Air Maxes on, but get your girl can do both, I guess. Big show today, Stacey Dales, NFL Network, and 670 The Score in Chicago. She's going to join us. Finally, Matt Nagy, thank you. Give us what the people have been asking for. Justin Fields is officially the starter. Obviously, Andy Dalton is still hurt, so kind of forced his hand there. But, you know, Justin Fields, he really needed that game and a half holding the tablets to figure out how to be a starter in the NFL. That's me being sarcastic, if you can't tell. I think he should have started from week one, and we'll talk to Stacey Dales about that. Ashley Baker, she is in she covers the Washington football team and is also a massive Cowboys fan. Cowboys looking really good. And I think we're all kind of hesitant to jump on the Cowboys bandwagon right now because, you know, the Cowboys, they always look flashy and they have something going on that's exciting. And then what do they really do? Well, this year they look legit. Their defense is much better, much improved. She's also the host of the About Nothing But Sports podcast. So we'll talk to Ashley about that. And Chris Mannix, who's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, also does The Zone Boxing and a boxing podcast on The Volume Sports. He will join us later in the show in the second hour to talk about that big fight tonight that I am very much looking forward to. I haven't decided. Fury is the favorite, and it makes sense, but he put on 20 pounds, so he's going to be fighting at like 300 pounds. I didn't actually see the weigh-in number yesterday, but I don't know. His trainer said he put on 20 pounds. I don't know that that's a good thing. So I want to ask Chris about it because Fury really looked slim, not slim. Like Fury's a massive person, obviously. But what I noticed from the second fight was he, like, you know, those like the back chunks, you know, it's that little meat underneath your shoulder blade, that little area.
Love handles.
Is that what they're called? I thought love handles were like at your waist.
Maybe. Saddlebags? I don't know.
Saddlebags. Is that what they're called?
I don't know.
I don't know. Some cruel name that we talk about our body in a, you know, derogatory way. The saddlebags were absent on Fury last time. So I thought he looked like he was in great shape. He talked about he had changed his diet. He talked about he was, you know, taking different supplements and like really honing in on, you know, his nutrition for the last fight. And obviously, look what happened. So now Fury blames a little bit of that on his not having his legs because of that ridiculous outfit he had on when he was coming out. But we'll talk about all of that with Chris Mannix later in the show. And I'll talk about it some more because I really just, I want to go with Wilder. I know he's the underdog. The 20 pounds thing makes me nervous. Also, I believe that Fury had COVID twice. And that's a lot on your body. So we'll see. But I'm really looking forward to the fight tonight. Let's do, wait, what do we call this? The Joyce Full House?
Two dimes and a something or other.
I have a terrible name for my segment. We're work in progress. Tweet us if you're listening to the show at Joy Taylor Talks and let me know what a better name is for my five favorite games from NFL Sunday and my two picks for you. I had Fab Five and Two Dimes way too long. Someone suggested Joy's Full House last week. We're still working on it. I don't know. Thanks for hanging out with us today on a beautiful Saturday. We'll keep you updated with all the college football scores. But let's do it, Iowa Sam. Let's get to my five favorite games of the weekend. Oh, so exciting. All right, well, that Thursday night game, to start with that, was really interesting. And it had huge implications because Russell Wilson's out. So that was the start of week five of the NFL. In no particular order, Packers-Bengals. So the Packers are only favored by 3 at Cincinnati, according to Fox Bet. This is an interesting game. I'm going to wait because I got burned by the Broncos against the Ravens. I got talked into it by my co-host, Colin Cowherd, that the Broncos were legit. And my concern about the Broncos was, and I was right, they hadn't beaten anyone legitimate. Everyone they had beaten was a terrible team. And the Broncos have a lot of pieces and a competent coach, so they should be beating them. And also, Teddy Bridgewater is a solid starting quarterback. They lost Teddy Bridgewater, obviously, but I say all that about Packers-Bengals because I still have to see the Bengals beat a good team before I jump aboard the fully aboard the Bengals bandwagon. I love Joe Burrow. Love Joe Burrow. And I do think that they are building something there. And they've looked good. And not just on the offensive side of the ball. So I am impressed with the Bengals. But I do not think the Bengals will beat the Packers. But this is an interesting game to pay attention to. Because if they can take a step up this week, that's a huge win for the Bengals. If the Packers lose to the Bengals, they'll be fine. It's not the end of the world. But it means a lot to the Bengals to be able to beat the Packers. And that would take that division to a whole nother level. A world where the Ravens, Bengals, and Browns are legitimate contenders, and the Steelers are terrible. So, it's 2021, right? This is the vortex we're living in. But I'm all on board for the Bengals taking a step up this week, so I'm really going to pay attention to that game. Bears and Raiders, obviously, I am Justin Fields fan club founding member. Not even that. I want to see exciting quarterback play. I want to see what the future of these teams are. Andy Dalton is not it. I have been banging on this drum from the moment they drafted Justin Fields. So he is, it's now official. Obviously we've seen him, but now it is officially his team. He is the starter. I can't wait to see what he does against the Raiders. Now the Raiders are favored by 5.5. They have some drama going on right now with John Gruden, rightfully so. And I just want to see. I feel like that's a big line, but I do think the Raiders will win this game, but I'm obviously paying attention to what Justin Fields is going to do because they didn't give him any credit. You beat a divisional opponent, no credit. Doesn't matter who you beat. They're always moving the goalposts, so I pay attention to that game. Browns and Chargers. Found out that Baker is playing through a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, but he's dealing with an injury. Chargers have looked unbelievable. Justin Herbert, unbelievable. Favored by 2.5. Browns at the Chargers. That's going to be a fun game. Niners at the Cardinals. It's a divisional matchup. The Cardinals are undefeated. They're playing out of their minds. Both sides of the ball. Really complete team. Kyler Murray, MVP favorite right now. Trey Lance is going to be starting. I don't know if we finally verified that. Is Jimmy 100% out? pretty sure Trey Lance is starting.
That's correct.
Yeah, Trey Lance is starting. Okay. And the Arizona's favored by 5, probably because there's a rookie starting. Bills and Chiefs. This is the AFC Championship rematch. Kansas City, 2.5 at home. I don't know what's going to happen this game. Everyone is so high on the Bills right now. They are blowing everyone out. But it is Kansas City at home. Kansas City's hearing everyone talk about how they're no good anymore. And look, they've been struggling a bit. Their defense is not looking great. But this is going to be a huge game Sunday night, and I cannot wait to see that. So I am taking, for my two picks, Carolina -3 against the Eagles. I think that they cover that. So I am going to go with the Panthers at home with 3 points. So Carolina -3 and... I know I said I wasn't going to do this, but I can't do it. I have the Bengals +3. Let me think about it. Let me decide at the end of the show. Don't put it down yet.
Do it!
let me do it. Let me think about it a little bit, because Denver burned me, and I just gave a whole speech about how I'm going to wait. So let me think about it. I could talk myself into it. All right, we're going to talk to Stacey Dales at the bottom of the hour. If you missed my picks, I'll give them to you again at the end of the show. We'll also talk to Ashley Baker and Chris Mannix about the Wilder Fury trilogy fights tonight in Las Vegas. All that coming up. But next, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Seattle, because that is a looming disaster. Welcome back to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. I am Joy Taylor. Show is brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. I am going to Las Vegas in a few hours. Woo-hoo! Vegas! I love Las Vegas. Wonderful place. And I'm going to see the fight tonight, and I am looking forward to that. We will talk to Stacey Dales. Get you up to speed on this Justin Fields situation. It is his team. It is his city in Chicago. Chris Mannix will talk about the fight later on. And Ashley Baker, should we be taking these Cowboys seriously? Texas is up 38-20 at the beginning of the third quarter over Oklahoma. This would be a massive win for Texas. Like, Texas is a brand we need to be great. Like, we need Texas back. Texas, USC, and I'm going to say it even though everyone's going to roll their eyes, but University of Miami. But it's true. Like, college football is just better when Miami is like rowdy and annoying and has got the swagger going. It's just those teams feel like pro-adjacent programs.
They're definitely pillars of history. Like, they have historical, you know, value. They're pillars in college football.
Yeah.
Even if they're not relevant right now.
And they have big brands. Like, they have big brands. They're not that, like, look, the traditional college football fan base thing obviously is incredibly important. But those brands really take college football to the next, like, crossover level. And it'll never happen for Miami. I just give up. Until they get their own stadium and they're not playing in Hard Rock, it's just not going to happen.
Well,
it's
for
just...
Texas here, like, they're looking a lot better than they did when they played Arkansas and got throttled. Their offense has been on another level lately. So
yeah, no, it's coming together. It takes time. We're not very patient in sports, and sometimes it just takes a little time to get things going. And they look good. They're up 18 points on Oklahoma right now, and we'll keep you updated on that. Ohio State is thumping Maryland 42-10. 10:28 left in the third quarter. So Thursday night was a very interesting game. It looked like it was going to be an incredible game between the Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams in a division matchup that the Seahawks really, really desperately needed. Super Bowl pick's not looking so hot right now. Not looking hot. But the LA Rams struggled a lot in the first half. Matthew Stafford actually messed his finger up as well as Russell Wilson, but obviously it was not as serious since Matthew Stafford was able to finish the game and Russ has just had surgery. But the Seattle defense was really the story going into that game, and they did a good job in the first half, and the second half it all fell apart. And Seattle's now in a really interesting space, because I'm hearing more and more that if this doesn't work this year, which, look, it's, I mean, Russ is going to miss significant time. He is, I mean, 4 to 8 weeks. So he's going to miss at least a month after having finger surgery. He, if you didn't see it, I don't know. Well, you couldn't have been watching the game because they showed it 500 times. But he smashed his finger up against Aaron Donald's arm, which for most people would probably just take your entire hand off. But he obviously damaged it badly, ruptured tendon. They had surgery on it. And, you know, he's supposed to come back later in the season, but that's essentially the Seahawks season. Like, we talk about how everything goes through Russell Wilson, and I understand Geno Smith came out and had a really exciting moment, and it was fun. Like, Geno had a nice drive. He had the Seahawks fans chanting Geno. He had an opportunity to, you know, have another game-winning drive, and Tyler Lockett tripped, and that's that. But that's what backup quarterbacks are supposed to do. They're supposed to come in and handle things for a moment. You don't want your backup quarterback playing significant time throughout the season. That's a bad situation. Not, you know, I don't know what Geno Smith is capable of, but he's not Russell Wilson. So Seahawks are in a bad situation now with Russ being out. And they're already struggling. And their defense is a huge problem. And I keep hearing that if this doesn't work, do you consider obliging Russell Wilson with his rumored requests from the offseason and trade him? Now, I don't have the stomach for that. I'm not built like that. That's a different level of gangster. I don't know how you trade Russell Wilson, who is arguably the biggest professional athlete. Well, like, I mean, definitely one of the biggest names in professional sports in that city's history. He's beloved by fans there. He's a future Hall of Famer, but he is very expensive. They have no draft picks because they pay everybody and have traded all their draft picks away. So there's no reinforcements coming for Seattle. I don't know. I could not fathom just them doing it outside of his ask. Like, if he, in the offseason when he was kind of putting pressure and there was like the rumored teams that he wanted to go to, and the Saints and the Raiders and I think it was Dallas, I'm forgetting the other team, there was four teams: Saints, Raiders, Dallas, Bears. So Saints, I guess, obviously are still a possibility because we haven't seen anything, you know, dramatic enough from Jameis Winston to say that that would be off the board. Bears obviously have Justin Fields, so pending a complete and utter meltdown, I don't see that happening. The Raiders, I don't believe, is an option anymore. So where does he go? That's obviously the next step in this, but I just can't imagine Russell Wilson being traded by the Seattle Seahawks. Now, this is a legitimate conversation about, like, if this doesn't work, do the Seahawks just completely tear everything down and start over? But my issue with that is I don't know how you start over if you don't have the quarterback. Like, it sounds nice that you need other pieces in order to win, but, like, with who? And in that division is nuts. Like, it's so good and so competitive and so aggressive. I can't see it happening. Now, obviously, stranger things have happened. Tom Brady just went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl. Like, things are moving. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers and the possibility of that happening later in the show. It's Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin just openly flirting in front of our faces. Openly flirting. So crazier things have happened. But the problem is they pay a lot of money to very few players. They have no draft picks, so they have no way to balance out their roster with the issues that they have. The defense is not the same. We think of this, we have these sort of brands in our minds that don't reflect reality. Like, when you think of, like, the Steelers, for example, well, like, they have, like, a great defense and a great running game, and they play hard and, like, tough, and it's like, that's not, they've been a finesse offense for a couple years. Now their defense is getting better. Obviously, they have TJ Watt and some other nice pieces. But yeah, we have this idea that Seattle still has this defense that's capable, and they don't. So I don't know. Again, I don't have the stomach to move on from Russell Wilson in that space, but he's going to be gone for 4 to 8 weeks. He posted a picture after the surgery, and they're already two losses behind the Rams and the Cardinals in the NFC West, and they will have to move forward with Geno Smith. Russell Wilson's obviously a very durable player, so this is a rare thing for him. He had the longest streak of consecutive starts by any active quarterback with 149, and he's played through lots of injuries. So obviously this one was serious enough that they needed to have the surgery, not only to preserve him moving forward in his career, but, you know, to have a chance at getting him back 100% at any point this season. Although I do think at this, you know, at this juncture, it's a lost season for the Seahawks. If they can stay afloat somehow, stay competitive, we'll see. But I don't know. They've kind of backed themselves into a corner money-wise. Again, they have no draft picks, so they really don't have a way to rebuild. And this is a thing. There's a significant drumbeat that they might have to reboot. Now, what I think is interesting about Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, maybe even Matt Ryan, like these quarterbacks who are making a ton of money, just these crazy contracts, which they absolutely deserve, and I have no problem with, but it is a salary cap sport, so you have to take it into consideration. How are you going to build out the rest of the roster? The last 10 years, if you're paying your quarterback more than 12.5% of your salary cap, you are not winning a Super Bowl. It's just how it goes.
Maybe they should follow the Brady blueprint.
Well,
take a little less for a couple extra rings, maybe.
Yeah, I mean that you can't argue that doesn't work.
It's like very successful.
It's very successful. Now it is Tom Brady, but you know Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson's won a Super Bowl, so they are more than capable of that. And I'm not going to tell anybody to take less money, but it's a salary cap league, and it's easy for Tom to take less money when he's married to the biggest supermodel in the world who's worth $300 million. However, that formula or having a young quarterback that hasn't been paid and building the roster around him seem to be the way to go to win a Super Bowl these days. I don't know, but we'll talk about another young quarterback who now is the face of the Chicago Bears. We'll talk to Stacey Dales, but first let's get to what's trending.
And we have plenty of college football on this Saturday, including a shootout in Dallas. Number 21, Texas, 38-20 lead over number 6, Oklahoma. That's with 11:06 to play. They're now in the third quarter. Number 7, Ohio State. No problem with Maryland today. 49-10, the Buckeyes lead. 7:45 to play in the third quarter of that contest. Number 11, Michigan State, just got a 94-yard touchdown run from Kenneth Walker III. He's now run for 179 yards, and they have a 28-13 lead over Rutgers. That's with 5:09 to play in the third. 3:34 to play in the third down in Oxford, where number 17, Ole Miss, has taken a 31-24 lead over number 13, Arkansas, and 9:54 to play in the third quarter. Number 20, Florida, pitching a shutout, 35-0, as they host Vanderbilt. BYU quarterback Jaren Hall will play today against Boise State. He's missed the last two games for the Cougars. NFL news. The Packers have placed quarterback Jair Alexander on the injured reserve, but they've activated defensive lineman Tyler Alexander from the COVID list. Of course, they're at Cincinnati tomorrow. Joey Bosa's fined $28,917 for his confrontations with officials, complaints about holding calls, etc., from Monday night's win over the Raiders. And the Bears have officially placed running back David Montgomery on the IR. Expect him out 3 to 5 weeks. But they have activated linebacker Dranny Trevathan. Defensive tackle Akeem Hicks, though, is out for their game with the Raiders on Sunday. And Mark Few, feeling the wrath of a DUI while coaching for Gonzaga. Yeah, he'll miss the season opener. Wow. We'll send it back now. It's Jordan Taylor.
Thank you to Ralph Irvin for those updates. listening to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Let's go out to Stacey Dales, NFL Network, also Fox Sports and college hoops analyst, a former professional basketball player herself. And at 670 The Score, Chicago. Thank you for joining us, Stacey. I am the number one Justin Fields should be starting from week one fan club person. I've been banging this drum from the moment that they've taken him. So now he's officially the starter. What was the reaction in Chicago when this was finally made official?
First of all, great to be with you, Joy. You gave me a break from my Sooners getting demolished by Texas now. So, like, I've got on the game, and I'm like, what? You know, this is a perfect time for you and I to chat about the Bears and Justin Fields. What a 6 month period process, whatever you want to call it, it's been. I do live in the Chicago area, as you know, so I've been kind of on this beat from the beginning. And from the moment this young man was drafted, Joy, the escalation of excitement and almost like this jubilation across the city of Chicago has been growing. It's been fascinating to witness and watch. A lot of people were in the same shoes as you. I mean, as far as, hey, let's get this guy going. An injury forced the situation, and now it's just undeniable. What we saw against Detroit last weekend, the explosive, the arm, talent. I kind of describe him as, when I watch him in person, he's almost like gliding in the backfield. And his change of speed is second to none. I mean, the guy can just be trotting, jogging, whatever you want to call it, and then boom, he's like a cannon. He's gone. And it could be the arm or it could be the legs. So it's going to be fun to kind of watch him evolve. And obviously we're all, you know, sorry that Andy Dalton's had to go through what he has, but I mean, the talent is undeniable, really.
We're talking to Stacey Dales. Yes, the Andy Dalton thing is obviously unfortunate, but to go before, let's go back in the timeline if we can. If you are a Loki watcher, that was some nerd stuff right there. But let's go back in the timeline and let's go to when Matt Nagy said, like, Andy Dalton is our starter. And then it kind of exploded nationally where, like, you know, you told Andy Dalton he was going to be the starter, but then you drafted Justin Fields. So to me, my mentality on young quarterbacks is that they should start right away unless they are completely incapable, which, I mean, if you're taking a quarterback in the top 10 in the draft, how can they possibly be completely incapable of starting? Every other position is expected to start when you're taking that high in the draft. I understand it's more complicated, but there is a value to learning on the field. Like, I don't think you get better at radio by watching someone else do radio. Now, you can learn how to do radio, you can learn all of the technical things, but you're not going to get better unless you do it. And to me, that is what the situation with Justin Fields. Now, every situation is different. I think the 49ers are a complete outlier in that space. But what do you think about that mentality, and why mm-hmm. was that so, like, so far away from what Matt Nagy wanted to do?
Well, it's so fascinating. I have so many directions I can go because I hear your points. They're all valid, Joy. I think if you look at the NBA, which is obviously a different sport with different sort of logistics and mechanics to it, when a guy is drafted not out of college but out of high school or whenever, he plays right away. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have this demand for, you know, we want what we want when we want it right now. And the quarterback position is just different, as I've learned in the NFL. You've been around the game forever, so you understand that. But you're right. Any other position that's drafted in a, you know, within the top 15 of the NFL draft is probably going to plug in and play type guy, right? So you almost expect that out of the quarterbacks. Now, I think in this situation, this was a tricky one for Matt Nagy because he had Patrick Mahomes in 2017 with Kansas City, right, when he was the offensive coordinator. And Alex Smith had the best year of his career. So he also had Big Red to follow in Andy Reid. So he was kind of like on the shoulders of Big Red. He's got this veteran quarterback in Alex Smith who could, you know, he was fantastic that year. And then you get Patrick Mahomes, who is just genius, right? Like, they were afforded the ability to sit Patrick Mahomes for the entirety of that season. Now, say what you want about that. I think they really, truly did come in with that same blueprint. And, you know, the difference is every quarterback is different in the National Football League. So right now we're seeing Trevor Lawrence struggle with the Jags. We're seeing Zach Wilson just get his first win with the Jets. Hasn't come easy, but I get your point. And your point is, hey, if I'm going to do radio, I got to make some mistakes along the way, because it's a tricky transition from guest to guest, and, you know, the time you're on air, and you get reps, right? Confidence comes from demonstrated ability. And so if you're a rookie quarterback in the NFL who's taken within the top 15, Mac Jones, right? Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, you know, our guy in New York, Zach Wilson, like, yeah. And now, guess what? This young man in San Francisco is going to have to play.
Right.
So you're going to get those reps and you're going to go. And we saw it with Fields. He got torn up by the Myles Garrett and the Browns. I was at that game. And then he comes back against a not-so-good Detroit team, with all due respect. But he throws some absolute beautiful bombs in the air. And it was I think something this week where, okay, we can't go back. You can't turn the corner now. I mean, let this guy go. And guess what? Shoot, the heat is coming in Oakland, Joy, because that Raiders team has the second highest quarterback pressure rate in the NFL behind the Cleveland Browns, who just, you know, sacked number one 9 times 2 weeks ago. So, but I hear you. I hear you. And I think watching him, the potential is off the charts. People ask me, like, hey, you get to watch this kid in person. I'm like, yeah, this kid is a young man who's going to be a man very quickly, because he can move. He's big. I mean, he's got like Cam Newton size, but double the speed, finesse with the football. And I just love his demeanor. So I think there's a lot of excitement.
We're talking to Stacey Dales, NFL Network and 670 The Score in Chicago. I love everything that you're saying. You're getting me very excited about it. But while I very much believe that they should start right away and experience is extremely valuable, I also am a very measured and calm person when it comes to rookie quarterbacks, not with everything else in life, but with rookie quarterbacks, you have to be extremely patient. I have no expectations, zero expectations for Jacksonville this year, zero expectations for the Jets this year. 49ers are a little bit different. They have a better roster. They're a contender, which is why they had Jimmy G there. And Mac Jones, you know, just don't crash the Mercedes. It's not, I'm not expecting anything over the top spectacular from him, but I do expect him to manage what is a very well-run organization. But generally, if you are a young quarterback going to these situations, they tend to be a little dysfunctional. So I don't consider the Bears to be a dysfunctional organization, but the roster is nowhere where it needs to be for them to be contenders yet. So what are the realistic expectations, or not even realistic, like what is the pulse of the fan base, the media, the organization as far as expectations for Justin Fields this year?
Yeah. Gosh, I love this conversation. This is great, which is why you're awesome. I think that people expect to win because the defense is good. You know, this front seven is good. You know, when you have the ability to sack the quarterback, the Bears lead the NFL. Now, sacks aren't everything, right? Quarterback pressures are important. Your brother would know something about that.
Right.
You know something about that. They're getting turnovers and they're sacking the quarterback. So that means rush and coverage are working. That gives the offense a chance. And the defense carried this team with not just an Andy Dalton, but a young Justin Fields, who they got a win last week, a little confidence goes up, and now this is a big test on the road. So the expectations are, to me, to answer your question, frankly, people expect this team could be a playoff team. Now, it's going to depend on how quickly this young man is able to adapt to, you know, sort of what defenses are going to throw at him, because he's going to see a lot of different stuff. I mean, this weekend, Gus Bradley is a lot of disguise, so he has simplified the defense in Las Vegas for the Raiders. These guys bring the heat, and Crosby's coming at you. So I just, every game, every week, I think the Bears have to be patient week to week internally. The fans won't be patient. That's never going to happen with Justin Fields, because we all see the potential, and it is real. I believe it's real. People ask me, do you think he's overhyped? Do you think he was drafted too high? Not watching him. Not watching him work, not listening to him in press conferences. So I think there is an expectation not just in the city of Chicago, but across the nation as far as what the potential of the Bears could be with Justin Fields. I think, you know, I keep my opinion out of it, Joy, just because I'm a national reporter and I got to go to these facilities. But, I think there's more hope. Sometimes when somebody comes in a game, they can turn the entire energy around, right? Yeah. That is what you feel with Justin Fields when he comes into the situation. So I don't know if that answers the question, maybe touches on it.
That scares me. See, that's what scares me about it, because, you know, he should be given some grace and time to develop and be able to go in and learn without the pressure of them being a playoff team. So that's where, like, I get conflicted about if they should start right away. Is like, what are the realistic expectations of the fan base and the media and the national mm-hmm. media for them? Because, you know, that changes the course of the narrative of their careers. But I'm really looking forward to this game this weekend. That Raiders defense is tough, but I'm rooting for Justin Fields. I'll give my opinion. I'm rooting for Justin Fields, so I will say that. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does against the Raiders this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us, Stacey. Follow Stacey Dales on social media, at Stacey Dales. That's correct? Make sure I get it right.
That's right, Joy. Yep, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Good luck to your Sooners. They just scored a field goal, so it's 38-23 now. So I'm sending you some good luck.
Way to put a period on it, Joy.
Thank you, Stacey.
All right. Be well.
Thank you to Stacey Dales, NFL Network, and 670 The Score in Chicago for joining us there. I don't care. I am rooting for Justin Fields. I want to see what he does. I'm excited that he is the starter, and I'm excited for Chicago. It's a great American city, and they have great fans, and they deserve to be competitive and have great quarterback play, which I think he will grow into, but just be a little more realistic. We'll talk to Ashley Baker at the top of the hour, talk about these Cowboys and a little bit of what's going on in the NFC East, and Chris Mannix, Fury Wilder 3. I'm heading there later, but let's talk about this disaster in my hometown of Pittsburgh next.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is good Vegas music, Iowa Sam. Welcome back to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Oh, big run. Oh, you got him fumbled. Sorry, I'm doing terrible play right now. And this Texas-Oklahoma game is crazy. What is happening? Sorry, that was not, I'm way better at play-by-play than that. I do it for Prime Video. I'm much more locked in. I wasn't expecting that to happen. Thank you to Stacey Dales for joining us, 670 The Score in Chicago and NFL Network, as we talk about Justin Fields. I can't wait to see him get his first official start as the official starter of the Chicago Bears this weekend. So we got a little flirtation. You know, I won't say it was like healthy flirting. It wasn't like disrespectful, but it was definitely flirting. So I mean, everyone saw that little moment. There's a little moment between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin this weekend. And Aaron Rodgers, he kind of tried to like make it seem like it wasn't a thing, but it was a thing. Let's listen to Aaron Rodgers.
I have a lot of respect. I've watched him from afar for a long time. A lot of respect for him. I just enjoy the way that he talks about his players. I've had some friends play over there, and I just like his demeanor. I think he fits that Iron City perfectly. A lot of respect.
I see what you're doing, Aaron. He talked about it on the Pat McAfee show as well, and you know, kind of was like, yeah, well, you know, if you want to make something of it, then I can't control that. Here's the thing. When you're a really smart person, you can't play dumb. Not about stuff that you're obviously very smart at. Now, you can be like, hey, I don't know anything about, I don't know, vaccines, but I do know some of a thing or two about football and like how this works. And Aaron Rodgers does. And he knows how this looks and how this sounds. And more importantly, we all have seen how bad Ben Roethlisberger has been this year, which should be a surprise to no one. But for whatever reason, the Pittsburgh Steelers have decided to move forward with him this year. They are not going to bench him. I would be in a state of shock if the Pittsburgh Steelers bench Ben Roethlisberger. He would have to throw 7 interceptions in a game for them to bench him. I'm from Pittsburgh. There is a lot of nostalgia there. There's a lot of loyalty there. They're not going to embarrass him in what looks like is probably his last year. It's been rough. He's 3-7 in his last 10 starts, 17 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 64.4 completion percentage, and 81.3 passer rating. They're on a 3-game losing streak. Now, they do play Denver this weekend, which could be a little bit of a bounce back game just because it's Drew Lock. But this is a thing. Like, this is an actual possibility that Aaron Rodgers could end up in Pittsburgh. And the reason for that is, of course, because Ben is going to be gone and the Packers don't want to send him anywhere in the NFC. So this is a perfect landing spot. Forget the whole Tomlin, you know, liking players thing. Like, there's only so many places where Aaron Rodgers can actually go. And it's probably going to be in the AFC. And this is going to be one of those destinations. And I am here for it. Pittsburgh, Iron City, we will love you, Aaron. We'll be so good to you. I don't know if we'll win because that division is really good now.
Oh, that team would thrive. Are you kidding me?
No, but there's still like some pieces that you can't run the ball. They cannot run the ball. They are the worst in the league at running the ball. I don't care how great you are. You got to have a little bit of a running game, especially in those winters. We'll talk to Ashley Baker, talk about the Cowboys, Washington football team, the NFC East, and some other stories around the NFL when we come back on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, thanks for joining us on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. 41-30, Texas up on Oklahoma. 22 seconds left in the third quarter. Game is bananas. Got a shootout, Ole Miss and Arkansas tied at 38 with 9:55 left in the fourth quarter. Thanks for joining us today and hanging out. Thank you to Stacey Dales for making me feel really warm and fuzzy about Justin Fields. And now we will go out to my friend Ashley Baker, who is the Washington Wizards reporter for 1340 AM Fox Sports and also the host of the About Nothing But Sports podcast and a massive Cowboys fan. So, Ashley, can we
hey,
jump?
Hey, Joy.
Thank you for joining us. Can we jump aboard the bandwagon? Is it too soon? Because you know how the Cowboys tend to do.
Listen, we are always accepting bandwagon requests. Feel free to come on this train because it's leaving the station after week 6. It's leaving the station, so feel free to come on over to y'all can come on over. It's not a problem.
But if I jump aboard the bandwagon, am I going to get to, you know, the playoffs and lose week 1? You know, is that how it's going to go?
Pretty. That was a low blow. You guys are known for low blows, you non-Cowboy fans. Listen, this is a really great year. You see how good Dallas looks. And I'm probably the most realistic Dallas fan anybody will ever meet. I'm hoping that this year is different. I'm sick and tired of getting to the playoffs. One and done. I'm hoping anything less than a trip to the NFC Championship, in my opinion, if Dallas continues to play the way that they're playing, if the defense improves, it's just a failed season, in my opinion. So hopefully they can get there. NFC Championship, at least, at minimum.
Well, I picked them to win the division this year, and for several reasons. One, I Dak is back. So if you're looking at the division, he is by far the best quarterback in the division. Now, it's not all about quarterback, obviously, but in this division, you got Taylor Heineke, we have Jalen Hurts, who's a complete unknown, and Danny Dimes, who we still are not entirely sure of what he's capable of, and it looks like that's right. Like, the Cowboys and Dak are back to where they were offensively before he got injured, but the defense is the story to me in Dallas, because the defense was a disaster last year. Like, yes, obviously Dak was hurt, but the defense was so bad. And Micah's been incredible, and the defense is much, much better.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, it's actually started with Micah, in my opinion, and then Trayvon Diggs, been an absolute stud, literally finish it. So it starts with Micah on each play, and Trayvon seems to be finishing it. I think he has like 6 picks on a year, and we're only going into game 5. So it's they have been really good under, you know, Dan Quinn. I knew coming into the season that it would be different defensively, and we still have some pieces that are hurt. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence is out. He should be back in a few weeks, so we'll see how that looks. I think maybe like around week 10 or 11. We'll see how he looks when he comes back, but we don't even have all of the pieces defensively, and they are looking really good. They lead the league in takeaways. I would like for them to tighten up on the tackling and not allowing such long plays during certain drives, but they're looking pretty good.
Now, Micah is a star, and he has been perfect, not only just for that defense. He plays with kind of a style of his mentor in LeVar Arrington. They have similar styles of play, but I think you're right. Like, the identity of that Dallas defense has almost immediately been built around Micah.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, of course they released Jalen Smith.
Yeah.
And a lot of that had to do with Micah Parsons, right? The emergence of Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs and, you know, Micah, them moving Micah's position and him coming off of the edge and constantly getting pressure on the quarterback. It is a really, really a sight to see. I have prayed for days like this where we have a cornerback and, you know, folks coming off the edge and pressuring the quarterback. I have literally prayed for days like this. So I am just in bliss, and I'm hoping that it continues this weekend when they play the Giants.
We're talking to Ashley Baker. Follow her on social media at @AshleyBaker_21 and check out her About Nothing But Sports podcast. Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because one of my picks this weekend, I was toying, Ashley, with the idea of taking the Bengals +3 against the Packers, but I'm not ready yet. I don't have the guts for it. I need to see the Bengals beat a legitimate team before I start giving them my dollarooskies. But this weekend, my other pick is the Giants +7. Come on. That's a lot of points. I think we're losing her.
Can you hear me?
Okay, hold on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Perfect. Okay, so you said you're going with which team?
I mean, I think Dallas is going to win, but I don't think they're going to blow out the Giants.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay, I think we're losing Ashley. All right. Sorry about that. We still have technical difficulties, even though we're in the studio sometimes. Yes. So that's my other pick. I went through my picks earlier today, and my other pick is the Giants +7. That's way too many points for to go against the Cowboys. And I get it, it's Cowboys at home, and the Cowboys are obviously the better team, but it's a divisional matchup this weekend, and that's just too much. But we're going to try and get Ashley Baker back. I think we're missing Ryan, so maybe we won't be able to do that. But we'll call Ashley back at the other side of the break. How about that? We'll call Ashley back. We'll get Ashley back in a couple minutes. So, all right, so let's take a break from the Cowboys conversation, because I want to finish that conversation with Ashley in just a minute. And let's go back. Let's circle back to the Ben Roethlisberger Steelers conversation really quickly, because I didn't really get to get all of my thoughts out before the break there. So Ben has been really, really struggling, as we know. And there was a lot of conversation in the preseason about how, you know, he'd lost some weight. He's in better shape. He looked actually faster and better in the preseason, which, you know, I don't know how much you can. It's probably a good example of why you should not give too much credit to the preseason. But he's really been struggling. And as I mentioned, they cannot run the ball. They are incapable of running the ball. They have the worst rushing offense this season, 55.3 rushing yards per game. They're on pace to have the worst rushing offense in NFL history. The 2000 Chargers averaged 66.4 rushing yards per game. They have the 28th ranked rushing grade according to Pro Football Focus and 27th ranked run blocking grade this season. So no matter who it is that's going to be playing quarterback, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get anything done if you can't run the ball in the AFC North. It is impossible. And I don't even know that that's possible to be that bad at running the ball anywhere in the NFL, but certainly not in the AFC North. So, I mean, you've got the Ravens, unbelievable. Obviously, the Browns have an incredible rushing attack. And look, the Bengals are emerging. I'm still waiting to see how this goes against the Packers this weekend, but you got to be able to run the ball. You can't be the worst in the league at running the ball. That's not going to work. Not when you have an aging quarterback. You can't ask him to throw it 50 times. You have to have a balanced offense and keep the defense honest. So, I don't know what the future is in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers is obviously a legitimate option because I don't think he's going to be in Green Bay next year. Now, how are you going to make the money match up? Who knows? But the biggest thing to me outside of the quarterback is you've got to figure out what to do with that running game because you're not going to win very many games in this league having the worst rushing offense in the league. All right, we'll try and get Ashley Baker back on the other side and get you updated on this Texas-Oklahoma game. And at the bottom of the hour, we can bring Ashley back on. We'll talk to Chris Mannix at the bottom of the hour about the Wilder Fury fight. Ashley, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Perfect. Yes. Sounds like an old commercial. Remember those commercials?
Yes.
Now, good.
At Ashley Baker _21, host of the About Nothing But Sports podcast. Okay, so I was saying that the Cowboys are not going to blow out the in-division Giants, right?
No, so I heard you say that, and I actually disagree. I think that this is going to be somewhere around 30-10.
Ashley, come on.
This is not me being a Dallas fan, seriously, but Dallas can put up points, okay? And again, the defense is playing the way they're playing. I think Sterling Shepard is out. You know, the Giants are missing some key pieces. This is the wrong week to actually run up against Dallas, despite the fact that it's a divisional game, and typically divisional games are tough, right? I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Dallas is going to put up 30 points like they usually do, and I think that they're going to hold the Giants to 10.
I love the Giants. -7.
Go ahead and parlay that pick, Joy.
No.
Parlay that pick.
I don't like giving money away. We work too hard for this. But I am going to take the Giants +7. So you can tease me if it doesn't go well, but I feel confident in that. All right, so the Washington football team. You're in the Washington area. You cover Washington sports. Ron Rivera talked about it this week. Obviously, there was the investigation with one of the trainers, and it has nothing to do with football, obviously. But it just kind of feels like there's always something with the Washington football team. Why is that?
I don't know. You know, I've been asking myself that for a couple of years now. I don't know if it's some type of, like, sports curse or whatever's going on here in D.C. But, you know, I'm very disappointed to hear that because I feel like just being here, I've noticed the recent hires and I noticed how good they've been with, you know, just such a good culture change here. And then this news kind of comes out and I'm like, I just don't know. I mean, it's like they take a couple of steps forward and then, you know, they go 20 steps back. I don't know if, you know, a lot of people here always say that the Washington football team always have some type of, they've had some type of curse. I'm starting to believe that could be true.
It's
a perfect month to believe in it. It's Halloween month. It could be true.
Oh, it is. I love Halloween. You know what? I think it has to do with the tone set, obviously, at the top when you have organizations like this. But also on the field, their defense has had a dramatic drop off from last year.
You know, Joy, coming into the season, I had them almost tied with the Bucks as being like the top team defensively because on paper they look great. I mean, we saw what they were last year.
Right.
Coming into the year, you know, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, I really thought that they were going to be something, and that has been one of the biggest shockers of the season. I mean, they are like almost dead last in all of the categories defensively. They're giving up about over 25 points a game, close to like 30 points a game. This is not what I was expecting. I want to say I expect them to tighten up, but their schedule does not get easier. So I really don't know when they're going to have the time to tighten up and kind of get to what we believe that they would be at the start of the season.
Yeah, it's a really dramatic drop off from last year. And I love Ron Rivera. I think he's I think he's a good, I mean, look, I'm not really talking from a personal level when I talk about any of these teams or players, but Ron Rivera is, you know, he's a man that's very well respected. He has the ability to build a culture, and I do think that he has changed the tone there. But I didn't feel good about the Washington football team and coming into the season, not because of their defense, but because they didn't have a quarterback. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a season-long quarterback. He's a backup quarterback. Now, obviously, he got injured, but that was not a good quarterback situation to me to come into the season with. And now they have Taylor Heinicke, who's capable, obviously, but, you know, he's not going to out-duel Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. And, like, you got to win your division first. So that was my biggest question mark for the Washington football team coming into the season. Is that fair?
That is fair. I thought maybe we would see some Fitz magic as well, but I didn't think that he was going to be some type of long-term quarterback. I will say that the general consensus here in the D.C. area, a lot of fans are trying to figure out why they didn't just go with Heinicke from the beginning, because he played so well in that game against Tampa last year in the wild card. So a lot of the fans here were a little taken aback by the decision to even bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I don't know. Taylor Heinicke, he's really good. He's good in clutch moments. I don't see him being the face either, though. Like, I don't really see him being the face of the franchise. I'm really surprised they didn't bring in, like, Cam Newton when he got released from the Patriots.
Well, no, the Cam thing was never an option to me because Ron Rivera. Okay. Ron Rivera already worked with him, so... and honestly, like, the vaccination thing, obviously Ron Rivera has been very vocal about that, and he's immune compromised, you know, obviously just recently beating cancer. So I didn't think that was ever going to be an option for them with Cam. And now I do think Cam will end up on a team at some point this season. But he's just too talented, and, you know, there's just injuries and, you know, too much happens throughout the course of the season for him to not get another job. But I didn't ever think that Ron Rivera and the Washington football team was an option for Cam. Especially
Let me ask
at this
you a
point.
Question. Let me ask you a question, Joy. Could you see him with your Steelers?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But yes, and then immediately no, because I would like that, but I just don't think the Steelers are going to bail on Ben at any point. I think he'd have to throw 7 interceptions in a game for them to bench him. They're just not going to embarrass him in what is, like, clearly looking like, obviously, his final year. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a very loyal organization. It's a very loyal city. You know, they're not into appearances. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to back up their people regardless. And that's why, even though it might be the right move, and it is certainly a good conversation to have, I don't know that they're actually going to do that.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, that's I've been talking about Ben all morning. I mean, we're down bad. We're down bad, Ashley. We're in the vortex of insanity. The Steelers are the worst in the AFC North. How did this happen? It's a disaster.
I mean, you guys, at this point, we're about to be 5-0 this season. And, you know, I think you and I kind of discussed earlier this year on my show, you know, it looked good. It looked good. You guys went all the way to be 11-0, and then it just went bad. It really went bad. So it's just such a switch. Man.
Well, you got to be able to have good quarterback play, especially in that division now. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ashley. Follow Ashley Baker at @AshleyBaker_21 and check out her podcast, the About Nothing But Sports podcast, which is all on her social media. Thank you, Ashley. Good luck to your Cowboys. Hope they win this weekend, but not by more than 7.
Thanks for having me on, Joy.
Thank you, Ashley. All right, we'll talk to Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated and The Volume about the Wilder Fury fight that is tonight. I am headed to Las Vegas as soon as the show is over. Viva Las Vegas. And I want to get his thoughts on that matchup. And let's talk a little bit about the rookie quarterbacks. I love talking rookie quarterbacks. Trey Lance is getting his start this weekend for San Francisco. And I love what Justin Fields had to say when he got his news that he was going to be the starting quarterback moving forward. It's Joy Taylor on The Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. Whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch, the biggest games are even bigger in Vegas. So make sure you plan your trip to Vegas today at visitlasvegas.com. I'm going to Vegas in 3 hours. For Wilder Fury 3 tonight. I'm very, very excited. I love a fight night. Is that the song you would walk out to in a fight? Iowa Sam?
Well, walk-up music is a whole different thing, but I always like that song. It's like Saturday night. It's all right for fighting. It's fight night, Saturday
night. It is fight night.
So that's just always kind of my go-to tune.
That's a fun game, though. It's a fun game. If you were walking out to a big heavyweight fight, what song would you pick?
Oh, man.
You know, because it's important, right? The song selection is important. It's got to be a little intimidating, got to be a little inspiring. It's got to be something that's true to you, get the juices flowing.
All right, I'm going to throw this at you. It might come out to either some Metallica or some Tool.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're a big specialist in Tool, but there's a couple jams that are just like, they get me going.
Listen, whatever gets you going, I'm into it. Ryan, do you have a thought?
I like to typically go for more irony, so I'll do something like really calm or like I was listening to Seal this morning, so I'd come out to Seal.
Seal! Okay. Listen, the thing about the walkout song is like there's really no judgment, right? Because it depends on what kind of fighter you are. Like, are you a theatrical type of person? Are you going to try and like get the crowd involved, or is it all about you and the zone that you're in? So I would go hit him up, Tupac.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very casual song.
There you go. Yeah.
If you're confused about the essence of that piece. I suggest you listen to it, not around children, but that's one of my all-time favorite songs, and I think that probably says a few things about me, but that's a song I would pick, like right at the top of my head. I have a whole list, though.
I mean, it's purely your choice.
Yeah, I think Backseat Freestyle, Kendrick Lamar would be strong as well. I'm really looking forward to what this entrance is tonight. We'll talk to Chris Mannix in just a few minutes about it. On the Volume, has a boxing podcast on the Volume, and senior writer for Sports Illustrated and does DAZN boxing as well. I imagine he's in Vegas, but I am not sure. But we will ask him all about that fight in just a few minutes. So Trey Lance is starting this weekend. Justin Fields is officially the starter in Chicago. I love it. He really needed that game and a half holding that tablet to figure out how to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And he was told that he is the starter. It is his team moving forward. And he had a cute story about it with his family that I really liked and thought was very telling. Here's Justin.
My parents were actually at my house last night. I told them, and they wanted to go out to celebrate. And I told them, nah, I'm cool, because I'm trying to win this weekend. So, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, of course, there's, you know, some reason to celebrate, but, you know, I'm not just gonna be complacent with where I'm at. I'm gonna continue to grow, continue to get better, and just try to work hard each and every day to, you know, get wins on Sunday. So
they didn't go out without you?
They went out without me.
Were you just home alone?
I was just home, yeah, with my dog Uno watching film last night. So that's all I was doing.
You love to hear it. You love to hear it. Now look, I'm being a little cheeky here, but there's something to that. Like this is a big job, being a starting quarterback in the NFL. It's a big job. It's a big deal. And in Chicago, there are big expectations, as Stacey mentioned earlier with us. And there's a lot of responsibility for that. Marvin Mims just scored a 52-yard touchdown catch.
Now, before that, Joy, it was an 8-point game. So it is a one-possession game. They're going to have to. There's still a lot of time. There's like 7 minutes left.
Okay.
They need a 2-pointer to tie it.
What a game. What an unbelievable game.
It really has been a crazy shootout at times over the last like 7-8 years.
Wow. And his foot just got in there. Unbelievable catch. How fun. So, yes, I love that about, I love that clip from Justin Fields. I love that he has the self-awareness to know when and where to do things. Like, I don't have any problem with celebrating things. I actually think it's very important to take a moment and appreciate big milestones in your life, because I'll be guilty of this as well. Something great will happen and I'm like, oh, okay, like that's awesome, worked for this, on to the next thing. And like, you do need to sit there and kind of appreciate when you accomplish things, and becoming the starter of the Chicago Bears is obviously a very big deal. But I like that he said his parents wanted to go out and celebrate, and he said, nah, I'm going to watch some film. Like, does it mean he's going to be a Hall of Famer? No, but nothing is everything. Everything is something. And I think that's awesome. And we are tied up 41-41, Texas, Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler. Please come to the Miami Dolphins. Oh, my God. Wow. What an unbelievable game. Hey, Spencer's something. I've been on Spencer, though.
I'll take the over at 80 points, please.
Right? That's why I can't bet the under. Who lives like that? I have enough anxiety already. Take the under, please. Unbelievable game. All right, we'll get you updated with the rest of the scores and talk to Chris Mannix. Wilder Fury 3 tonight in Las Vegas. But first, what's trending?
Yeah, we got some wildness going on in Dallas. It is the Red River Shootout, number 6 Oklahoma, number 21 Texas at the Cotton Bowl. And Caleb Williams just made a heck of a play. He's been doing it since coming in for Spencer Rattler. 52 yards to Marvin Mims. They hit on the two-point conversion, and suddenly the Texas blowout is a tie game. 41 all, number 6 Oklahoma, number 21 Texas, 7:25 to play in the fourth quarter. Just inside of 3 minutes to go in the fourth, number 7 Ohio State, 66-17. They're cruising against Maryland. Final in for number 11 Michigan State. They win at Rutgers, 31-13. They're now 6-0. Number 13, Arkansas, has just tied it up with number 17, Ole Miss. They're locked at 45, 107 to play. They got touchdown, Ole Miss, because you can't script this. They just hit the end zone with 107 to play. It's 51-45 with the PAT pending there in Oxford. And a final in from Gainesville, number 20, Florida, 42-0 over Vanderbilt today. Joey Bosa fined $28,917 for confronting officials Monday night, and the Packers have placed cornerback Jaire Alexander on the injured reserve while activating defensive lineman Tyler Alexander from the COVID list. Akeem Hicks out for the Bears against the Raiders with a groin injury. Danny Trevathan, though, has been activated. It's now 52-45. Number 17 Ole Miss over number 13 Arkansas. Still 107 to play, so you know there's a whole lot of football to go. As we set it back now, it's Joy Taylor here on Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes, 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thank you to Ashley Baker and Stacey Dales for joining us earlier. Unbelievable Red River showdown going on right now. Just incredible game. But let's go out to Chris Mannix, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, The Zone Boxing, The Volume Sports. He is in Las Vegas. I am headed to Las Vegas in just a few hours for this fight tonight. Chris, thanks for joining us. What's the energy fight weekend in Vegas right now?
Well, not great energy at this point. And that's largely because the travel restrictions from the UK have prevented all the, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 British fans that might be here from being here. They had a closed weigh-in on Friday, so the buzz hasn't been what it was in February of 2020 for the second fight. But that doesn't change the fact that this is a fascinating fight that could go in multiple different directions.
That's really interesting. That's an interesting perspective. How do you think that will affect the crowd tonight at T-Mobile?
Well, it's not going to be a sellout. It's probably going to be, it's scaled, I think, for 18,000. They're probably going to get about 15,000 fans in there. It'll still be loud. I mean, it's still an event. And, you know, Fury's got some fans that are already here, American fans, British fans that live in the U.S. So I would imagine it's slanted slightly towards him. But, you know, I've been to a lot of, you know, U.K. versus U.S. types of fights, whether it's Ricky Hatton, Joe Calzaghe. I mean, you go down the list of Lennox Lewis when he had some fans over. I mean, they bring a lot of energy and they drink a lot of alcohol.
Yes.
They have a good time when they're out here. So without their presence, because of travel restrictions, it's definitely siphoned away from the atmosphere.
So I was at the second fight in February of 2020, and there was obviously the conversation about Wilder's entrance outfit, and I'm for all the pomp and circumstance. Like, I'm there to be entertained. I'm cool with all of it. I like the flashy stuff. So I'm into it. But it took like 20 minutes to get everyone out into the ring. And Wilder had this really heavy outfit on that weighed 40 pounds. And he said it affected his fight. One, do you buy that? And two, was there, he said he's like wearing something different now. Like, does that have an effect on this in any way? Like, has he talked about it?
Well, he's talked about a lot of things. Very few of them are believable. I mean, he's gone down a conspiracy rabbit hole when it came to Tyson Fury in the last fight that, you know, strains credulity. I mean, he accused Fury of having loaded gloves, which is virtually impossible. He accused Fury of manipulating his gloves, which doesn't make a lot of sense. He accused his trainer, of spiking his drink, you know, during that fight. So there's nothing to it. Even I was hearing some things from people earlier today about Wilder having some issues with the glove selection on Friday. So we're already kind of off and running with potential conspiracy theories going into this fight. As far as the outfit goes, yeah, he did say it was heavy. I mean, but I mean, these are pristinely conditioned athletes. I have a hard time believing, you know, walking to the ring with some poundage on your shoulders is going to impact you. I mean, if you really believe that, what he should do is take a page out of Mike Tyson's book.
Yep.
Tyson came to the ring in a white towel that was cut out in the middle and, you know, took it off as soon as he walked there. I mean, you really want to make a statement and say you're doing things differently, go the Tyson route and carry virtually nothing on your body.
Yeah, Colin and I talk about that all the time. But Mike Tyson's, he was built a little different than everybody else. There's only ever going to be one Mike Tyson. What's the story of this fight to you, this third fight in the trilogy of Wilder Fury?
Well, there are two ways to look at it. One, if you're looking at it from Fury's perspective, this is his chance not just to cement himself as the number one heavyweight in boxing, but perhaps the number one heavyweight of this generation. He will have defeated, you know, the top guy twice, potentially in devastating fashion. He may still get the Anthony Joshua fight, but Joshua, the shine has come off him considerably in the last couple of years with the losses that he's had. So Fury's got a chance at really elevating himself to a higher level. I think the stakes are even higher, though, for Deontay Wilder. I mean, the story for him is proving he is a high-level guy. I mean, I'm a Hall of Fame voter in the Boxing Hall of Fame. If Deontay Wilder loses this fight, I can't bring myself to voting for him for the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's got this sterling record, the greatest knockout percentage in heavyweight history, a 5.5-year run as heavyweight champion. But his resume is paper thin. He's got he's beaten one fighter, Luis Ortiz, and he's beaten him twice. That's the only quality win on his resume right now. If he goes down to Tyson Fury, especially if he goes down in a comparable way to what happened 20 months ago, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk, justifiable talk, that Wilder was wildly overrated, that he was just this big puncher who was handpicked opponents, and when he finally faced somebody, you know, worth his salt, he got beat. And I think that critique will be fair if he can't find a way to beat Tyson Fury.
Mm. We're talking to Chris Mannix. He's in Las Vegas for Wilder Fury 3 tonight. So Fury, to me, in the second fight, his body looked different. And he talked about it. He said he was eating differently. He was, you know, taking different supplements. He was really paying attention to what he was putting in his body. And I thought it showed. I noticed it specifically. What did we call them, Iowa Sam? What is it? The saddlebags area? Yeah, like that little lower area underneath your shoulder blades, is a little tough area to get to. They were gone. Like, he's obviously a massive person, but he looked like he was in better shape, and I thought he looked faster, and he obviously, it helped him. He won. So now his trainer is saying he put on 20 pounds. So what did he weigh in at yesterday, and do you think that that's going to affect this fight in a negative way?
No, yeah. Sugar Hill said he was going to put on 20 pounds. Turns out he only put on about 4 from the last fight. He was at 277, which is a career-high weight when it comes to boxing for Tyson Fury, but you never really judge Fury on his weight or his physique. I mean, the guy's never going to be cut out of a poster. I mean, he just is kind of this sort of flabby guy that, you know, he weighed 256, I think, for the first fight with Wilder back in 2018, 273 in the last fight, 277 now. It doesn't change his skill set. I mean, he's got fast hands, good head movement, and nothing he's carrying around the midsection really changes that. What's actually the most interesting part of the weight conversation is Deontay Wilder's 238. That's the highest he's ever been in his career. He spent months on Instagram posting pictures of him bench pressing, and that makes for great pictures and video at the weigh-in. But boxers aren't built on muscle. I mean, you can run down the list of all the great boxers in history that have been muscular who have not been very good. I mean, look, Anthony Joshua just got beat by Alexander Usyk. Joshua is like a Greek god. Usyk is nothing close to it, and he outworked him. And my concern with Wilder going into this fight is that muscle is heavy, and muscle can make you tired. So if Deontay Wilder doesn't find a way to get Fury out of there early, I can absolutely see a scenario where he tires even quicker in this third fight, and Fury's able to take advantage of it. So he thinks that the weight's going to help him kind of carry Fury when Fury's kind of leaning on him, and it's going to give him a little bit of extra strength in the ring. I don't buy it. I think it's a mistake to come in as heavy as Deontay Wilder did.
Chris, you're selling me on Fury right now. I don't know if that's what you're trying to do, but we're talking to Chris Mannix. I mean, I don't know if you are giving your prediction about this fight, but how do you think that this fight is going to go?
It's funny. Out here in Vegas, I was at a sports book last night. A lot of the money's going on Deontay Wilder. I don't really know why. You know, Fury in the first fight who was basically, you know, 6 months off a 3-year layoff and, you know, fat and out of shape, went the distance with Deontay Wilder. He beat the bejesus out of him in 2020 when he was in better shape. And I think he's even sharper this time around. And more importantly, not many guys come back from the type of beating that Deontay Wilder took. I mean, maybe you do it if you're 26. Deontay Wilder is almost 36. And he's coming in with a new trainer, a new team around him. You know, those things are fine, but oftentimes it takes a training staff, a fight or two fights to really take hold what they want to do with a fighter. Everything to me just points directly at Tyson Fury. Of course, Deontay, with that right hand, can finish a fight at any time. That goes without saying. But, you know, that's like one way Deontay Wilder can win. I can list 9 ways that Tyson Fury can win, and that's why I think he wins almost in a carbon copy of the way he won the last fight.
Whew. Well, you've given me a lot to think about, Chris. I haven't decided where I'm putting my money yet, but you made a compelling argument that I should not feel too confident about Wilder, but he is the underdog after all. And the weight thing was very interesting to me, though, because that was giving me a lot of pause. I was like, 20 pounds is a lot of weight to just put on for really no reason at all when you were looking the way that Fury was. So he's only put on 4 pounds, and Deontay is actually the one that has put on some significant muscle. I'm very excited for this fight tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy Las Vegas and enjoy the fight tonight. Make sure you follow Chris Mannix at SI Chris Mannix. Check out his podcast On the Volume Sports, also The Zone and Sports Illustrated. Enjoy the fight tonight, Chris.
You got to enjoy anytime.
Thank you. Oh, I'm nervous. I was so confident about going with Wilder tonight. I don't know now. I got to think. That's what happens when you talk to an expert.
Also, I looked into it, and saddlebags are actually more around the bum of a person, the rump.
The rump.
Yeah. So we're a little off, but it's also a great term to use. So
tweet us what the body part that we're supposed to be.
I don't think that part of the body
right
has
now.
Like a name.
It does have a name. All right. Well, lower back fat, I guess. It was gone,
something
but it doesn't
like that,
matter because
right.
Fury is still an excellent fighter. All right, I'll give you my picks again and my top 5 games of the weekends for NFL Week 5, the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Very excited for Fury Wilder 3. We just talked to Chris Mannix, who made some very compelling arguments for Fury being the one that's going to come out with the victory tonight at T-Mobile. Thank you to everyone who joined us today. Stacey Dales of the NFL Network and 670 The Score in Chicago. Talking to little Justin Fields, who is officially the starter for the Chicago Bears now, and Ashley Baker at AshleyBaker_21, host of the About Nothing But Sports podcast, talking about the Cowboys. And I don't know. I think they're the real deal. I know we say this every time that they start getting spicy, but their defense looks much, much better. And I've always been a Dak fan. So I will give you my 2 picks to start. I have decided I don't have the stomach for the Bengals yet. I got to see how this goes. By the way, Oklahoma up 48-41 on Texas now with 2:55 left. So that game has turned crazy.
Wow.
So my 2 picks. I'm going with Carolina -3 against the Eagles at home. And the Giants plus 7. It's a divisional game. Giants seven. The Giants don't get blown out. I think the Giants, they cover. They don't win. The Cowboys are going to win, but I'm going to take the Giants plus 7. Yeah! All right, let's run through my five games for week 5. Chiefs, Eagles. That's not this week. Where is that? That's stupid. That's not the Chiefs are playing the Bills. Like, what is this? That's old. That's from last week. Packers, Bengals. Very interested in this game. I love Joe Burrow. I love the way that the Bengals are trending right now. Packers minus 3 at Cincinnati. Again, I don't have the stomach for it, but if you're feeling a little wild, it's a game to watch this weekend. I think if the Bengals, this would be a statement win for the Bengals. It wouldn't really mean anything if the Packers lost, but it would be a statement win for the Bengals. Bears, Raiders, Justin Fields officially the starter in Chicago. How do the Raiders answer? They are favored by 5.5 in Las Vegas. Browns, Chargers. Baker, we now know, is playing through an injury. Justin Herbert has been incredible. The Los Angeles Chargers favored by 2.5 in that game. Niners, Cardinals. Trey Lance getting his first start. How does the rookie fare against the Cardinals, who have been unbelievable this season? Woo! I was really wrong about the Cardinals. Now, I didn't say they were going to be bad, but I didn't have them as a playoff team. It appears I was a bit off there. Didn't see this step up. Bit of a mistake. We'll just pretend that didn't happen. Cardinals look amazing. They're the best watch in the NFL to me. Kyler Murray, unbelievable. And we're not really paying attention to how great their defense has been playing. They have some playmakers on that side of the ball. They've been playing incredible football. And this is a must-watch game this weekend. And then, of course, the AFC Championship rematch between the Bills and Chiefs in Kansas City at Arrowhead. Everybody's on the Bills. Are the Chiefs done? Are they falling apart? Can their defense hold Josh Allen to under, what are they scoring every week, like 45 points? They're incredible right now. And the Bills' defense actually deserves a lot of credit as well. 2 shutouts. Bills' defense playing great as well.
I'm excited.
So Carolina minus 3, Giants plus 7, Packers, Bengals, Bears, Raiders, Browns, Chargers, Niners, Cardinals, Bills, Chiefs. An exciting Week 5 in the NFL approaching. Thank you to Stacey Dales, Ashley Baker, and Chris Mannix for joining us. Very excited for Las Vegas.
Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. Steve Hartman and Jeff Schwartz are on next on Fox Sports Radio. I still got to decide. How am I going to buy my mansion? Is it Wilder or is it Fury?
I'm going to go with Fury.
You go with Fury? I think I'm going to have to do it, too. He is favored. We'll see. We'll find out tonight. Fury Wilder 3. Steve Hartman, Jeff Schwartz next on Fox Sports Radio. We'll catch you next week.